For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora to our Cook Island audience who will be stoked with a win for the Cook Island Moana girls on the weekend. They got a huge win in Papua New Guinea. And welcome to everyone to Nijin Footy, the go-to place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirao Arona, and alongside me each week is my Tongan Australian friend, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, happy Monday, brother.
Happy Monday, T. How good is this week going to be? We're going to talk about last week, but you talk about my Tongan heritage there. There's a big game coming up on Saturday.
Ooh, we've been waiting for this one.
We've been waiting. This is our origin, but hey, we'll talk about that probably on Friday. But congratulations to the Cook Islands Moana.
Yeah,
but,
great game.
Great game for them. But the men's, they were there for the picking. The Fijians were your exact words last week.
Yeah, look, we'll talk about it. But yeah, when you've got someone like Doreen Buller, just put on an absolute clinic in the first half. Yeah, I just wish he was part Cook Islander as well.
He could be. But anyway, we'll get into that with our footy chat. We've also got Shirley Long to wrap up both the women's games. Rugby news, you know, just a couple of awards there for some of our Pacific Island talent. And our guest this week, our guest is going to be special, Teitana Patiachung. And when you talk about the Coconut Wireless of getting selected for a side, she was playing a bit of league. And then someone called her to then say, hey, do you want to try out for Manusina, for Samoa, for Rugby Union? And then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, she's on a flight to New Zealand for a trial and then ends up playing in a World Cup. So that's going to be a special chat with Teitana.
Moment of the week.
Yes, Sammy, moment of the week. Yes, it is Pacific Championships time. We've had some great games, but we've also got to see what Pacific Championships are about. Now, social media has given everyone access to these camps, to the players, you know, behind the scenes, what happens at training, what happens at fan days. And yeah, just like really impressed with seeing the boys engage with their communities through social media. A few things that came that I noticed was the Tongan team going back to the motherland.
Hadn't even played a game yet, and did you see the parade? Shut down the whole street of Nuku'alofa there.
It's like they had already won the World Cup.
Mate, we saw Dimitrik. He was on a throne. So they've dressed up a truck or a ute, and it's got all the palm trees. It's got all the traditional material, and they're sitting on these massive chairs like the prince or the king of Tonga. And all the families are sitting on the trucks and utes with them and just doing the royal wave down the street. How good.
Yeah, Kulikefu Fine Feu Yaki was standing on top of the truck and he had two bodybuilders next to him flexing throughout the streets. And Ali Katoa, he went back and visited his primary school.
Yeah.
Sat in the same. Imagine being a kid and you're there doing your school chant and you look to your right and you've got an international NRL superstar that went to the same school and sat in that same chair when he was a kid and they're singing along the same school song.
I felt like Ellie he couldn't really get the words out too. He looked emotional, like just to be back there. Like this is where it started for him and now he's giving back. But I think it was so special, very unique for the players, especially for the start of the Pac Champs to be able to have their preparation like that for Tonga. I think it's going to be a good thing for them because the whole week they've been able to connect. And the second week, they probably focus more on the footy detail.
Hey guys, it's Dimitrik Waimonga here from the One New Zealand Warriors. You're listening to Nijin Footy.
The man himself, Dimitrik, the king of Tonga. Yeah. But man,
what was on his under his hat? Was it like he had his hat on and then the sweat towel,
the sunnies? I was like, this guy's
How good!
But yes, the Pac Champs Week One had kicked off over the weekend, and I'll start in Port Moresby, where the Pacific Bowl men's game was played. Fiji Pati playing the Cook Island A2, and Fiji, man, they were. I thought they were up for the pickings. I thought they were ready.
Oh, you've got to go. You've got to say that being Cook Islander, you have to.
No, I really thought.
But you really thought. Oh,
really thought that the boys were going to come out and give it a good crack. But Fiji, too good, 44-24. And we mentioned it on Friday. Jareem Buller, the first name you see on the Fijian list, number one, their fullback. He scored 4 tries in only the first half, only the first 40 minutes, and here's his first one.
35 away from Cook Island's line. Brandon Wakeham gets a loose pass away, but it's picked up by Semi Valamai. He goes to ground. The ball goes to ground as well, but it stays alive. They go to the right-hand side. They might score here. Jethro Rinikama gets it back on the inside to Jareem Buller. Well, it's one of the ugliest tries you'll ever see. The ball hit the ground about 4 times. He celebrates under the sticks.
Mate, that was not ugly.
I was going to say, that was far from ugly. Like, that's, you turn something like a loose bounce of the ball. You talk about the beautiful pickup and the hands it took to get to the outside. And Jethro playing with a dislocated shoulder too in that tackle, I believe.
Yeah, when he made that breakaway.
Yeah.
You just thought he would run and score underneath the post, but he just held, he was holding his arm out.
That's a bit weird, eh?
And then he come off straight after, had the arm in the sling, and yeah, it turns out that he dislocated his shoulder.
But Jareem Buller, what a performance from the young man. We spoke about Jared Hayne and Johnny Sutton being in and amongst the coaching group, having an influence. It looked like it did.
Yeah, I thought the way that Fiji came out, they were very physical, but they also went after it. Like, defensively, they weren't waiting for the Cook Islanders to play. They were coming up, getting that line speed up and getting into their face. There were a couple of times where Tane Milne, you know, maybe in NRL or in that structure, they wait and give them that time. It was like, no, let's just go and get in front of their faces and force errors. So I thought that was a big difference. They come out with a bit more intent. They come out wanting to get after it, their leg speed, the fast play of the balls. And the Cookies probably went lateral for me, like too much pass instead of going forward and trying to create those fast play the balls. And on the back of them fast play the balls, Jareem Buller, you know, found opportunities. He went down the short side and caught a Cook Islander prop hanging out in the center. But yeah, I thought it was a great game from Jareem.
When you see your fellow Cook Islanders, obviously they're always going to put everything on the line when they put that jersey on. But when you think of, say, player for player, where players have been playing their footy, like, is the gap too big, you know, in their preparation, some playing club footy and not at NRL level compared to, say, majority of the Fijians?
Yeah, you could say that. But again, I think that when you put the Cook Island jersey on, it's something that, you know, gives you that extra 100, 200%. Now, they were their worst enemies, and K.L. Edo and Carmichael Hunt, the head coach, he said it straight after, was, you know, they played their worst opening of the game, and hopefully they can get better with the next couple games coming up. So they'll take on PNG Kumuls this weekend, and then they'll prepare for the World Cup qualifier against South Africa. But again, what a great performance from the Fiji Pati. I thought Kitione Kautonga, he was unreal as well, scoring a nice try for them. And they'll have a weekend off, so they'll have a bye, and then they'll come back and play PNG next weekend in Port Moresby again. So great work to Fiji Pati, getting off to a good start. Now, this game in New Zealand, Auckland, the Pacific Champions Cup, where the New Zealand Kiwis took on the Tor Samoa. The opening of this game, we mentioned it last Friday, the big three in the middle. For the Kiwis, you had James Fisher-Harris, Moses Leota, Joseph Taupine. For Tor Samoa, Junior Polo, Josh Papali'i, and Payne Haas. This vibe at the start was giving me State of Origin vibe.
Yeah, the matchups. We spoke about it on Friday. That's probably one of the best head-to-head clashes we've probably ever seen, really. Like, they're big humans going at each other.
Very physical, not taking a backward step and really wanting trying. There was a couple of shots that were put on, and there were a couple missed opportunities as well by boys trying to fly out of the line and put a big shot on. But the Kiwis too strong in this one, just getting the job done. 24 to Tor Samoa's 18. First two tries to the Kiwi centre, Casey McLean. And I thought Dylan Brown, he was one of the Kiwis' best in regards to creating opportunities. And being Samoan himself and Niuean, scoring a nice try to end up being the decider for the Kiwis.
Last play, New Zealand, 25 metres out, Foran, he'll bomb, it'll come down in the field of play, caught by the Kiwis, Dylan Brown's caught it, Dylan Brown's planted it, right next to the padding of the posts. What a play, what a try, New Zealand go to the lead.
Man, he was, I thought it's one of the best games I've seen Dylan Brown play, actually, in a long time. But is it like when you look at that game and they come so close, do you reckon there's so much more room for them to grow? Samoa, like they just lost that, and I'm looking at going, man, they're like more time together on the park. Surely they're nowhere near their ceiling.
Yeah, massively. I think when you look at the Kiwis, a lot of them have played a lot of footy together. You look at the Tor Samoa, a few of them had only just joined the team. Different combinations. You've got a workhorse in the middle in Payne Haas, who led by example. He played 80 minutes, ran for 177 metres, made 53 tackles. Zero misses. Didn't miss one. But having that, I thought their bench was unreal as well. They inject the when they come on, guys like Francis Molo, Harris Tavita, and Simi Sasangi, when they come on, they change the momentum. What about that try where Harris Tavita goes for the 40-20 and then Chance Nickel clocks that. He knocks it back in. Simi Sasangi was the first one there, picks it up. Who was the next guy next to him?
Payne Haas. I saw him from that end-on view from behind the goalpost. Payne Haas runs past Jerome Luai, like in the kick chase line. So like, and he's the first person. Oh, Semi's sort of there, but like, man, just seeing Payne, he plays 80 minutes and to still have that motor and that effort-on-effort attitude. He's such an impressive human.
They also had an opportunity at the just before Dylan Brown scored his try. Jerome Luai puts a little grubber in. Blaze Talangi picks it up, and then he passes it to Dean Marino. Unfortunately, Dean drops it. But that very next play, or the next set, Dylan Brown goes the other end and scores. So I don't think they're not far at all.
Nah,
you know, they're not far off at
all. Do you think Jerome got better as the game went on? Like I know probably early on there was a couple of fifth tackle options where he didn't quite execute properly, but it just seemed like he found his flow later on in the game to be able to bring all the other different players involved. You reckon he had that impact as the game went on?
Yeah, just probably the timing as well. Remember, he hasn't had a game in, what, 4 or 6 weeks?
Yeah, true.
Yep. 6 weeks of since he's had his last game, so getting all the time.
That's right, he's with the Tigers now, yep.
But yeah, I just think that whole game was unbelievable to watch. I thought Joseph Tarpinen was one of, and Nalfahu White, alongside Payne Haas as well. I thought Junior Bolo, the way that he led some of those line speed efforts and those kick pressures, just cleaning up a lot of the mess in the middle as well. Yeah, I thought it was a high quality game of footy, and yeah, looking forward to one Samoa versus Tonga, and then Tonga versus Kiwis, and then that finals. Who makes the finals out of those two, three teams? Rugby league's not over because we will catch up with Shelley Long and touch on those two awesome games from the weekend. But let's shift over to rugby union. And
there's not much happening still in rugby again. It will, though, in the next couple of weeks. It will pick up because they'll be heading over to the Northern Hemisphere for those matches over there on their spring tour.
When's the Samoa qualifiers? To qualify for the World Cup?
To qualify, it will be November 8th. I want to say it now. They're going to qualify for the World Cup. They're not losing those games, but we'll get into that detail a bit later on when all those games happen. But I just want to look at some Australian Rugby Union awards that happened over. I think it was last week, late last week. It was the John Eales medal. Do you know who John Eales is? Just firstly.
Yeah, the Wallabies legend.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, early 90s.
Yeah.
George Gregan.
Through the 90s into the early 2000s. Yeah. What was he known for? Being a big lock? What else was he known for? It hasn't happened ever since he's finished up.
John Eales?
Yeah.
Winning the World Cup?
No, that too, that hasn't happened. Nah, but he was a goal kicker.
What, so there's been no other goal kickers?
That's been a forward. Do you tell me you're not impressed with that stat?
Well, there's always been forwards in our league that kick, like Craig Fitzgibbon.
Yeah, but you got to think, Craig Fitzgibbon's not 6'8".
Oh, didn't know it was such a big thing. Is that what he's famous for, kicking?
No, well, he won the Bledisloe Cup by kicking the winning goal He took over Matt Burke and said, "I've got this son."
Every rugby union person go, "Oh, do you know what John Eales was famous for?" And they'll be like,
"He'll say leadership and his goal kicking." I bet you right now. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with you. Anyway, let's get to the awards. Len Ikitau took out the most prestigious award you can get, which was the John Eales Medal. Joseph Swali'i, he got Rookie of the Year. George Smith, he's still getting awards even, you know, what's that, 100 years after he's retired. He's now in the Hall of Fame for Australia. And we'll go with Shelley Long. She's got some Pacifica females that have won some awards as well. But, T, unfortunately, that's all I've got for you for rugby union. Did that give you enough of a break for rugby league there to get your thoughts together, ready to go again?
Just quickly, though, Joseph Suoli'i gets Rookie of the Year. Mark Nowaganitawasek wasn't allowed to qualify to get the NRL Daily M Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, okay.
Same criteria for union. Did they just...
No, that's a good one. I think, how many years did Joseph Suoli'i play NRL for before he crossed over to union? Was it only one or two?
Would have been a fair few.
Suoli'i's only...
Early 20s.
Early 21, 22. Mark's, well, he's only 24, 25. So, hey, if it's your first year in the game and you kill it, you should get the award. So
there you go.
That's how it should be. So give Mark the award.
Yeah, he got the RLPA one.
Yeah, but that's not like the Daily M Rookie of the Award.
It was voted by the players. It's more important.
That's the most important one, but it doesn't have the same platform in terms of the media as the Daily M. But anyway, he's going to kill it for the Kangaroos this week in that Ashes game, I reckon, Marky. We will talk actually a little bit more rugby when we get to Taitana Patiatrung. She's going to join us for that chat, and we will be talking more and more rugby with her.
Bulavanaka, it's Mark Hermano Dukutoko Nawanganituase from the Sydney Roosters, and you're listening to Nation Quick.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, we are blessed with her presence again on Monday. PNG Orchids and NRLW star Shelley Long. Shelley, I know it was a tough weekend for the girls, but for the Cook Island Moana, let's go.
Is that where we just start straight
just
there?
Just
start straight there with the hype, with the banter. He wasn't doing that for the men's game, just going to put it out there, all right?
But how was your weekend? Did you manage to, watch the women's games?
Yeah, it was actually a great weekend. My partner and I drove up to Gordon Vale and watched the All Blacks. And mid-All Blacks game, I actually had my iPad out and I was watching the Pacific Championship. So I was all around, surrounded by a footy, and then also had the pleasure of watching that game. Now, T, you have a big smile on your face, and that's exactly right. The Cook Island Moana ended up winning on Saturday, 34-6 against the PNG Orchids. That is actually the first time that they have beaten a Pacific nation since, I believe, 2003. So quite a long time since their last win.
Wow.
Really? Did you say 2003 was the last time the Cook Island Women's have won a game?
Not won a game, just won a game against a Pacific nation.
Pacific Nations team.
Gotcha.
I know PNG Orchids, they got off to a good start, and I was just like, oh no, not this again. But geez, the Cook Island Moana, they looked very structured, well structured, but even defensively, it looked like the intent was, they were going out and trying to put on some big hits, controlling the ruck speed. But the attack on the back of that momentum, I thought really, you could tell that they had been coached well throughout the preparations for this game.
Yeah, I think it was a really smart call by starting off fast for the Cook Islands with Lavinia Kitai up the front and Ashley Matapo also in the back there. They were getting that tight carry behind the ruck, which really made the PNG Orchids have to move quite a bit, flip a middle as well sometimes to the short sides, because that's where they were attacking a lot of the time. The winger, Paulina Morris-Ponga, she had an incredible game, scored 3 tries on that left edge for the Cook Islands. So both in attack and defence, a very smart play for the Moana team.
Gives it to Kiriaratu. She has a strong charging Matapo, who's stopped about 4 metres short of the line, just to the left of the uprights. Pass goes out onto that left-hand side. To real quickly, gives it on to Takarangi, and guess what? It's 3 tries for Morris Ponga. Lovely work on that left-hand side. Takarangi and Paitai Wakely involved. quick hands, and the Cook Islands have extended their lead. It's a hat-trick for Morris Ponga.
Yeah, I thought the Sharks halfback Shante Kiriaratu, I thought she had a really outstanding game as well. Just her direction. I believe it might have been her 21st birthday as well.
Yeah, still very young.
So yep. Still young, still got plenty of juice left in the legs to represent the Cook Island Wana. But Elsie Albert, I know she tried her best trying to get him forward. Did she come off with an injury? Did I see that?
She did end up coming off, but it was actually S.A. Barno who fell down onto the ground in that second half and was taken off the field. Looks like she might have done her knee, so the next Pacific Championship game that the PNG Orchids come in. But, you know, like you said, the PNG Orchids, I think if they can just get that consistency in their halves, you know, this is the first time where they're playing with some new halves, they're playing with a new fullback. I think if, you know, long term, the development of these players will be great. You look at Shante Kiriaratu, yes, she's a really young player, but she's played, I believe, 24 games of NRLW, and some of the Orchids still haven't played yet. So I think if we can get some consistent footy into the PNG Orchids and tighten up around that ruck, they'll definitely be better for it.
Hey, outside of SA and Elsie, who else has impressed you? Like, you know, with a bit more time in the saddle, do you believe is this going to help carry this team in and improve this team?
I really liked Layla Karoa. I thought she did well in her line running. She ran off the back of Caitlin Tenner, digging into that line and hitting those nice sharp poles. I think if we can get her in playing that position more frequently, I think she'll definitely grow as a back rower. And I think there's a lot of potential for her to become a really strong back rower in the competition.
Yeah, the Orchids will now have a rest this week, and we will see the Cook Island Moana take on the Tongan women's team in Port Moresby. And then the Orchids will come back and play Tonga next weekend. So a few big games to look forward to. Now let's shift over to the Pacific Champs Cup, where the women's Kiwi Ferns took on the Fetu Samoa. And geez, what a game, what a start to Samoa, and then the comeback from the Ferns. You know, what did you think of this game?
I love this game. It was such a gutsy effort and hard-fought effort from Fetu Samoa. I just thought their middles, they showed up as soon as that kickoff happened and they were really ready to take on the Kiwi Ferns. Unfortunately, though, it did slip away at the very end when the score ended 22 points to 20 to the Kiwi Ferns. But you've got to give a lot of credit to Fetu Samoa, and I think that really shows why they deserve to be in that top pool as well.
Yeah, that first try to Shalom Sawaso was yeah, it's like she just brought her form from that NRLW grand final and just ran with intent.
How do you stop her? Like, she just doesn't stop pumping her legs. As soon as she hits contact, she's still going through, it goes through, and what a beast.
Yeah, I think she's definitely a very hard runner. She's got a palm on her. She dips low into the contact like, you know, a union player would do in the transfer. But for me, I think in stopping Shalom, it's getting up, staying connected, and even though you think that she's run away from you, you need to stay up because she's very clever at bouncing back to where that space has opened up.
Yeah, look, they got out to a 20-point lead, so it was 20-0 at halftime. But when you look at their performances, what moment stood out for you?
Oh, for me, Destiny Minasinapati's try on the edge. That was an absolute, I don't even know what to say about it. It was just incredible. Like the little spin, the massive effort to run away from, you know, a bunch of other players that are really fast and talented in themselves. I think that was a great try.
Now they have a quick play of the ball. They're back now on the 10-meter line. It's kicked. Well, it looked like a kicker to the end goal, but it's taken by Mina Chinapati, who's taken on the full and already over the halfway, over the 40. They're chasing after her, over the 20. She's going to get home here. Mina Chinapati runs 80 metres and goes over to score.
And I don't know what was said at halftime to the Kiwi Ferns, but whatever was said worked. They end up coming back in the second half and scoring 22 unanswered points. Where do you think it all started for the Kiwi Ferns to start this comeback?
I think just starting fast. I think that's where they went wrong in that kickoff was Fetu Samoa. They started really fast. Their middles made a massive impact in the middle of the field, and the Kiwi Ferns just weren't able to match that straight away. I think when they went into the dressing sheds, that would have been something that Ricky Henry would have talked about. And I think when you watch that second half of the game, their intensity definitely improved.
And then what were your thoughts on the try score that decided this match and seeing the Tongan Kiwi make the breakaway
in full flight
and yeah, just scoring an unbelievable try for the Kiwi Ferns.
Anderson that went to her right and then back to her left, and now it's going to be Papali'i who's tackled on the 20 metre line. It's the last tackle for Samoa. Can they put a bit more pressure on here with a kick into the in goal? Comes from Pili'i Rasabali, taken by Hafanga. She's over the 20, over the 30, heading up towards the halfway. Is there anyone from Samoa that can catch her? She's over the 30, over the 20. She's 10 metres out. Here comes Samoa, and they can't get her. Nelei Hafanga has put this game right in the balance.
What were your thoughts?
Do you reckon she was going to make it? Did you think she had the legs?
Oh, I knew she was going to make it, yeah.
Shelley, did you?
I did. I'm like, what can't she do? She scores the winning try for the Broncos, then she scores the winning try in that game. Patricia Maliepo kicks that goal, which ends up sealing the deal for them in, you know, what was it? I think it was the 60th minute or something like that. So there's still a bit of time there, but I think after that, that would have just given the Kiwi Ferns a lot of confidence. And particularly when you've got someone like Mele Hufanga, damaging ball carrier, being able to score such a try like that, they definitely would have found their rhythm.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't a easy kick for Patricia, but that decided the game. And I think the Fetu Samoa can still take a lot out of this performance, a lot of confidence. And, you know, just to be in that 20-point nil lead, and that's their first game in the Pacific Champions Cup. Remember, they came up from the bowl last year.
Do you reckon that would have been hard to contain that excitement and that energy coming in at halftime, being up 20-0 into like we're there, but knowing full well, like, do you protect the lead or are you still going out doing what got you those 20 points in the first one, Shell?
Oh, you've got to keep wanting more points. At the end of the day, you go into the second half, or for me and most of the teams that I've ever been a part of, when we've got a lead and we go into the second half, it becomes nil all again. And it's going in there and working, okay, we need to earn some more points here. What can we do? We still need to showcase our talents here. What can we do? I think for Fetu Samoa, I think just that energy in the middle probably went a little bit missing. I think, you know, it's a really tough battle. The Kiwi Ferns are known to be really strong and tough in that middle. And I think when they came out with the added energy, like they're known to do, it just zapped Fetu Samoa that tiny bit. And I think if they can build on that, 100% they'll be a really tough game for the Jillaroos this week.
Yeah, we've seen Sienna Lofipo work her heart out and then ended up coming off with an injury. I thought Aneta Claudia Nuasala, she tried to lead from the front and start that comeback, but they just fell short. So Kiwi Ferns, they'll have a weekend off this week. The Fetu Samoa will play the Jillaroos, Australian Jillaroos, before the big men's game where Tonga will take on Samoa. And then we'll see the Kiwi Ferns play the Jillaroos next weekend. So a few big games to look forward to again. And I believe that's us for Rugby League. Let's shift over to Rugby Union.
Thanks, T, for the transition there into what do we have, about 30 seconds here of this? Is that what we're doing here, Shelley? Now, some big news in Rugby Union, some well-deserved awards I seen last week.
Yeah, some really exciting awards were delivered to some of the Wallaroos players, and I think very well deserved as well. Player of the Year went to Tabua Tuinakavandra. She had an outstanding season. She's been an outstanding middle as well for the Wallaroos, and not just this year but also last year. She was someone that we really enjoyed watching, so a great achievement for her and a definitely well deserved award as well. Hall of Fame, Tui Ormsby was announced was inducted, sorry, not announced, into the Hall of Fame for the Wallaroos. So a great achievement for her, and I think really represents all of the hard work that she's put in into the Wallaroos and also that the systems surrounding the Wallaroos. Unfortunately, there is some sad news. So two Wallaroos will leave representing the Wallaroos. Lydia Kovoa, she played 12 test matches for the Wallaroos and also represented them at one World Cup. So it's very sad to see her going, but we wish her all the very best in the future with whatever she chooses to pursue. And Trilene Pomare, she played 43 caps for the Wallaroos. That is the second highest of all time ever to represent the Wallaroos. I believe her cap started off in 2013 against Ireland. So, you know, it's been a long time for her in the system, still demonstrating why she's such a talent and a force to be reckoned with. But she'll move on, and we wish her all the very best as well as she pursues this next chapter in her life.
Ah, perfect. T's off to PNG this week. Is that right, T? Yeah, this week, yeah, Friday. Have you got any advice for him or anything going to the motherland?
Yeah, any nice cafes over there?
Breakwater, beautiful pie.
Breakwater.
Okay. Breakwater, get the pie there.
Well, how can I get one of those nice bags?
Oh, the Billum?
The Billums.
The Billum. You've got to go to the market. So see if you can get a local to take you, like a local you know to take you to the Maroka markets.
All right, perfect. Nice. All right, Chill, thank you so much. We'll check in with you next week. Love your work. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Hi, it's Tabua Tunakabandra, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Hey, T, before we bring in our next guest, Cambridge Park, Cambo.
It's a junior rugby. They have a junior rugby league club, same as same competition as, you know, St. Mary's, St. Clair Comets.
I thought so because I just saw that our guest today was actually selected from a rugby league, junior rugby league club for Manusina Samoa at the recent Women's Rugby World Cup. So I'm fascinated to find out how that all unfolded, which uncle probably called her up to say that, hey, do you want to come play? Obviously, she's very talented, 21 years of age, Samoan heritage, and she joins us right now. Teitana Pati Archong, thank you so much for joining us. We are keen to listen to how you were selected into the Manusina side. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get there, actually, we just want to start with you. We see that you're repping the mighty blue there, Manusina, the colours. Whereabouts is the family from back in the motherland?
Whanaula Nofa Ni'i.
Have you gone back to the islands to visit?
Only when we went there for Manusina, like about a month ago. But before that, I think it was like almost 8-9 years since the last time I've been back home.
Well, what was that experience like, going and representing Manusina? Heaps of family and friends come and see you?
Yeah, it was awesome, eh? Like, even family I haven't seen since I was, like, little. Like, the first time I went to Samoa, yeah, that, like, they were coming to see us. Even the girls, all their families coming, bringing their mail offers. And, yeah, it was real cool. Even when we got to the airport, like, even people that weren't even related to us, just proud.
That's awesome.
So what was your culture like growing up in Western Sydney with your family?
Very family orientated around here. Like, everyone just knows everyone. It's real warm around here. Everyone does everything together and, yeah, pretty much footy, no matter where you go here. So, yeah.
What was your footy experience like as a kid coming up?
Everything was just league. But Dad was a big union guy, like, back home. And then when he came over to Australia, he just started playing league last couple of years. My first cousin, Spencer, we always went to go watch their league games. And then that's how we got into it, me and my sisters. And then we had a local team around the corner from us, and there were sevens. They were just starting up for the girls. And we knew a couple of them, so we went out to help them out, and then that's how I got a taste of union, the difference between the two. So then, yeah, and then 15s only just came in for me and my sisters, like, the last 2-3 years. Just muck around, just go help our mates' team out. They don't have enough numbers, not enough backs. Not enough people are training, we're just going to help them out. But other than that, it's pretty much just been league the whole time.
And what was your dad like with you playing rugby league and then now rugby union? What's his thoughts been of you playing?
Oh, he's just so proud, eh? Like, he just, he always brings it up, but he's one to, like, just keep it on the low. But, like, since Manusina, he's just, he just lets it out. Like, I've never heard him tell me how much he's proud of me as much as, you know, since World Cup's passed. So, yeah.
Let's talk about the World Cup and your journey in the Manusina. You know, from where that started to where you are now, where did, you know, how did the Manusina ever even come about?
It's actually crazy because that week we just went to go help out a mate's team. They were down on numbers, Two Blues. So we just went to go help them out. And then my league was starting up that same week, but I hadn't been to the week before when preseason had started. So I made the call. I told the coaches, sorry, I'm not going to be able to help out for the rest of the season because, you know, I'm focusing on league now. And then, so yeah, that was it for Union. Like, I had called it quits for Union. And then the next day, I was going to go to league training because I was at Sharks at the time. And then I think it must have got to my coach, the Union coach, and then he gave me a call. And me and my best mate were just chilling in the room, and he's like, hey, I need you to get to NZ. How fast can you get to NZ? I was like, I can go now. Is it paid for? he's like giving me the rundown. Like, I just need you to pay this one flight, and if you work hard enough, everything else will be paid for. And I was like, oh, what's it for? He's like, well, the Manusina's, the coach has just reached out to me. You know, they need some backs. Just go check it out. So I called Dad. Me and my best mate rushed back home. Came to Dad, spoke to him, and he was like, oh, where are we gonna get this money from? Like, you know, like. Are you going to pay for it? And I was like, oh, I'm just asking. and then, yeah, like, I gave him a couple hours to think about it. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on in his head. And then a couple hours passed, and then he called me back to the room. He was like, you better start packing your bags. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the next day I flew out. We had trials in NZ, and then that was to make the Oceania Cup, and I didn't even know it was like heading towards World Cup because I didn't know anything about the Union. So I thought, oh, like, cool, you know, play for the motherland. Got to meet some of the girls, and then they were like, oh, I wonder how they're gonna do it with all the girls coming back for World Cup. And I was like, what are you talking about? I think I'm in the wrong team. And that's how it happened, just a random call on a random Tuesday.
Man, that is a spin out. Like, I'm thinking, I've heard this story from my uncles who played for Tonga back in 1973. And then we fast forward now to 2025. These type of conversations still happen on how you can get selected and picked up and play for your country. Because yeah, that's what I was saying in the intro. I was like, I just, you know, had a bit of a Google search, and I saw that, oh, here's one for our very own Cambridge Park Junior, Teitana, representing Manusina from here. And I was like, wasn't that rugby league? And just seeing you, and then now it makes sense hearing that story. But okay, so
did she mention Sharks? Did you mention the Sharks?
So for her,
was that for
yeah? That was Harvey Norman. So I had just started with them.
Wow, and you turned that down to go fly to New Zealand to have a trial for the Manusina.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad because I had told them, you know, I'm going to come commit, no more Union, you know, this is where I stand. And then I had to go back the very next day and, like, make it to you. Sorry, I lied.
How happy are you now that you made that decision?
Oh, I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful that when I had told them, the coach had told me, like, I'm never going to, like, stop any of my players from striving to get to where they want to be. So I was so grateful for that reaction because I felt so bad. Felt so guilty.
Well, I'm thinking, so you had no idea there was actually a Rugby Union World Cup happening.
The year after.
No, so because Dad tried to put me in through Manusina a couple of years before that. But I was like, I didn't know what it was for. Like, I didn't know what it was leading up to. I just thought we would just go play for Samoa and then just travel a bit, play against the other Oceania teams. And then,
yeah sweet ass, just end up at the World Cup. Yeah, all goods. What is people playing their whole lives around playing at a World Cup, and you've just, yeah, took a phone call. Yeah, sweet as, I'm there. Absolutely love that. I love that story. But yeah. Now that you're in camp, it's real. And you've been announced to make your debut. What was that feeling like to debut for your country?
Oh, it was out of it, eh? I just couldn't stop crying the moment they called me up. And I think I was crying more because my parents couldn't be there, especially my dad, because everything I know in footy is my dad. Like, so when he's been there every single step of the way, so, you know, to make my debut, and that was the one time he couldn't be there, it was a sad but a happy as moment at the same time. So, yeah.
What was the words that he said when you told him you were making your Manu Sina debut?
It just went quiet, so I knew he was crying, but the first words he said was, "Oh, I think it's windy in here."
The old windy, the old cutting onions.
And then he had to wait for mum to stop crying because she was... I wasn't even on the phone to her. I was on the phone to dad, and I can hear in the back. Yeah. So we had to wait for mum to leave the room. And then, he just... those real subtle cries, but I know he was dying to get it out. And then now he just was telling me, "Oh, I'm so proud of you. Like, remember all those times that you were overlooked, all those times you thought no one believed in you, and it only took this one phone call. You know, just take it with both hands, thank the man above, and don't go show the world what they've been missing out on." And then that was all he said. And then when it came up to World Cup, he didn't message me, no nothing, like no good luck, no anything. Just, but I know he was proud. I knew he was proud.
Man, I thought he would have said, "Remember the time we scrambled that money together to get you that plane ticket?" Yeah. Don't forget that one. So who did you debut against and where was it?
It was in Fiji against Tonga. Yeah, I was actually playing against one of my cousins in the other team. She's half Tongan.
Oh.
And I didn't find out until after the game.
This has been an amazing journey for you, hasn't it? Finding out I've got family on the opposition for Tongan, finding out there's a World Cup.
Well, even the chance to go to Fiji and play just in your first year of deciding that you're transferred over to rugby union. What's that feeling like, being able to be a part of the Manu Sina, be a part of the other girls in the same camp, being able to travel to Fiji? Yeah, what's that experience like been for you?
Exciting, actually, because I've actually never left the country so much. I've never stayed in hotels like this before, like, and all the buffets. I miss the treatment, because once you come home, there's none of that left. So. But yeah, no, it was cool. Like, but everyone's been asking, you know, how's England? You know, how was it? How are the other teams? But like, you know, we didn't get much time to explore. It was more business, like training and. But when we did get to go far out, I couldn't believe, like, we were there, you know, like, it's happening. I couldn't believe I was in London. Like, I had to, like, go live and show everyone, like, I'm really
go
here.
Go live, Facebook live.
I had to prove I was there, like, it wasn't AI or anything. People were messaging me like, "Nah, you're lying, bro, like, you're not there." And I had to prove it.
I honestly, you know, hearing you talk about like the buffets, the hotel living and the traveling, definitely can relate, you know, being from similar backgrounds in terms of, you know, out in Sydney's West, and you get the opportunity to travel, and then all of a sudden you see that buffet and you want to go hundies. You load up your plate, and then you just see the strength and condition on the other side is like, "Oi, what are you doing?" And then you just slowly put everything back. But when we talk about, let's get to the World Cup. How did it hit when you put that jersey on for, like, not just a debut game, but for a World Cup debut? Like, how did that hit when you put that jersey on for the first time?
Just the whole journey until making it, just, you know, it just, like, came running through my head. Like, I can't believe only, like, a month before, like, I was ready to give up the sport. And, like, just all the downfalls to get to where I was in that moment, putting on that jersey, it was amazing. Eh? Like, I couldn't get over the fact that I was about to give up on this game, and then we were there, we were playing for World Cup.
It was cool to watch from afar, because although the results didn't go the girls' way, it still felt like you were winning. You know, you're winning because you were there. You're winning off the field. You're even doing the before the captain's run, doing the runouts. What was the coach like? You know, what was his words, and how did he try to motivate the girls? Was it more of a "let's try and win," or was it like, "we're already here, let's enjoy the experience"?
No, it was more like a enjoy it. Like, we're here. It took us well, it took the girls who have been there from like 2018 all this time to get there. He was like, just go out there, get a feel of it, enjoy the moment. Nah, he was never about just winning. I never really heard anything about that, like the whole time we were in camp. Nah, he was good. He was just allowing us to just take it all in, soak it in.
You mentioned that Manu Sina brought you closer to your connection to your faith. What were some examples that Manu Sina done within the camp for you to feel that way?
For me, because this was my first camp with them, like my first time with them, I actually didn't clock how professional it is, like, to be on time. So, like, you know, they started setting out the rules, like, you got to be there 5 minutes before. If you're not there 5 minutes before, we get a fine. And then whatever the fine is, you know, we got to do it in front of the team, whatnot. But it was more so, like, be on time, get to the meetings or get to lunch, breakfast, dinner, so we can say our local before, our prayer before we eat.
Mm.
Especially my roommate, she's really, really into that stuff. So she was teaching me bit by bit every week. Like, never would force it on me, but every time, like, friend, did you do your prayer when you wake up? Oh, I felt so guilty, eh? So I had to start doing it. And then, friend, did you say your prayer when you went to sleep? Nah. So yeah, it was kind of like bringing me into it. Like, I had to do it, but then I started loving it, and it's actually stuck with me since I came back home too.
That's special.
Yeah, personally, when I hear those type of stories, and for yourself, like, how does it feel being a part of a rugby campaign, but you're actually celebrating your culture, you're celebrating being amongst other Samoan sisters, and just learning something different, not just on field, you're just learning about yourself off field. So, like, how does that make you feel that it's a holistic view about footy, not just about the results?
Yeah, 100%. No, it's really cool. Like, it's really different, especially from, like, the league side of things. Like, we've never had that. And even, like, our local Samoa, like, it's never long enough to actually get this kind of bond and, you know, like, learn more about the culture side of things. So it's more about just footy, footy, footy. But when I came here, kind of feels like church and footy. So it was really cool. Like, it's really different. It was way different to what, like, a lot of other teams would be used to.
So last question from me. You're on the crossroads of choosing the route to play rugby league or rugby union. You obviously had the skills to play both, and you can always come back to rugby league when you're ready. But for any girls that are, you know, thinking the same thing and have the skills to play both and are on that bridge of, like, okay, do I choose one or the other? What advice would you give to a girl that is having to make that decision?
I think just stick it out for both. If you have the love for both the games, just stick it out with both. I know it's hard because the times and the trainings, like, you know, they take up a lot of time. But for as long as you can, just stick it out for both of them, and surely, like, the opportunity will come. As soon as that first opportunity comes, just take it with both hands. Like me, I love league, so when this opportunity came, I was like, oh. But you have to. You can't turn them down. Like, you know, it's what comes first, what where your heart sits. So you'll know what to do when the time comes.
Any thoughts of coming back to rugby league?
Just give her a call on a Tuesday. She might answer and say yes.
And then play NRLW.
Yeah, sweet.
And go to the Rugby League World Cup.
Rugby League World Cup next year.
Go play for the Fetu Samoa in the World Cup next year.
Oh, shucks. Look, throughout the camp, I was so, like, certain, yes, I'm going back to league. Like, this is the peak of union. I think I'm done with union. But I'm mixed right now, so I don't know. We'll just see how the year starts off, whichever one's nicest to me. So,
hey, we're nice to you, man. Hey, there's World Cups, traveling, buffet, mate. That's the dream. Just a couple from me here. Just with your jersey. You know, now it's all done and dusted. Your World Cup jersey. Did you give that to anyone special? Anyone in particular?
Oh, so I actually botched it, and I gave my jersey to a fan, and I forgot it was my debut jersey. So, like,
well, there goes my next question. I thought you were going to say your dad, and I was going to go, oh, how did it make your dad feel? But
dad would have been happy as.
So your debut jersey's with someone in England right now.
Yeah, and, like, the girls were, like, asking, oh, who'd you give a jersey to? Like, and one of the other girls were like, oh, I gave it to a fan because it wasn't my debut jersey. Whatever, and then one of the girls go, oh, that's kind of stupid. Like, wouldn't you have given it to someone, like, you know, special if it's your first jersey? And I was sitting there like, bro, true? What? what the, like, why would you give it to someone you don't know? And then they asked me and I just got up, walked away, called my dad. Oh, became my jersey to a fan. But then I was like, you know, I was talking to him and he's like, oh, that's your jersey. Like, you know, you do whatever you want to do with it. And I was like, no, I promise, because next game I'm starting, so that's yours, Dad. That's all yours. And I was like, yeah, you didn't want a bench number anyways. Like, so, you know, I was trying to butter him up. But then after the game, the starting 15 for USA came up to me and was like, oh, hey, sis, do you want to swap jerseys? And I was like, not thinking, yeah, we'll swap.
I think Dad's got a USA jersey now.
Yeah, and then I... we went back to the change rooms and Dad's like blowing up my phone. Oh, so are you American now?
Honestly, this has been such a heartwarming chat. We wish you all the best on your journey, whatever which way you want to go with it. And, yeah, keep inspiring and keep smiling because it's really infectious. And, yeah, much love and all the best.
Well, thank you.
Salo Falava, my name is Annalisa Seal and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Give me three answers for this one. Yes, this is our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. The loser has to shout the other host and their partner a spa day dinner at the end of the year. And speaking of partners, I just want to wish my wife a happy anniversary for tomorrow.
Really?
It's our fourth anniversary, so.
Anything special? Got to recycle any gifts, a jersey for her?
I'm off to Papua New Guinea.
Well, that's the best anniversary gift you can have, not being here.
So,
yeah. Well played, sir. Well played. I don't want to go. Right. Now I know why you actually wanted to go. Anyway, I'll look after if you want. I can head around there if you need me. I'll take her on a spa date or something. Anyway.
Yeah, fight my two boys, mate. 36-35. I'm winning by 1 point. You're up.
Okay, here we go. All the talk around Tor Samoa over the week, I just thought I'll probably find a give me three around that. And I was actually quite surprised at these numbers, actually. For the highest cap Tor Samoa players, give me the top three highest cap Tor Samoa players of all time.
All time.
I was actually surprised at these numbers. I thought there were more caps involved. It's actually not as high as you'd think.
No. Is there any that played on the weekend?
Yes.
Junior Paulo.
He's number one. 16 appearances.
Yep. They didn't play as many games back in the day as they do now with PAC champs and World Cup. So a lot of those players would be the older players from this era.
Yep.
Josh Papali'i played Australia as well, so he might so not.
I like where your head's at.
Who
comes in at two and three?
That World Cup, who played? Maybe Jerome. Maybe, or Bizza. Let's lock in Jerome Luai.
Well done, son. It was Jerome Luai. He actually moved into number two over the weekend. He was on 13. He was 13 caps. But, yep, Jerome Luai, 14 caps for Tor Samoa.
Wow. Okay, so I'm just going to take a wild guess. If Bizza played last year in – did he play against England? Yeah, he would have.
Yeah, he went on the tour. The
World Cup. I'll go Brian Tor.
No, not Brian Tor. Tim Lafay.
Tim Lafay
on 13.
Yeah, I wasn't.
So, yeah, I knew that. I knew you probably would have got two. Wolfpack. The third one would have been a tough one, but there you have it. I thought there was going to be higher numbers there, but
that was a great question.
You like that one, T?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you always like them when you get more than 50%. Perfect. But anyway, that's our time up. Make sure you tell your footy-loving friends about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC website. That's all we have time for, T. Ka kite,
Friday. The Friday after, because I'll be in Papua New Guinea. And if you do notice my voice in Port Moresby, come say hello.
Absolutely. Safe travels.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.